Hi, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to another episode of Love Letters Live. Today's guest is so interesting, Judy Theo Lehner. And I don't know, Judy, I'm going to ask you to say hello and tell us a couple of things, but I don't know whether you keep your title once. Let's just start. Why don't you say hello? And we're talking about Jesus and Other Lovers, which is the name of your book, right?
Correct.
And what we're going to talk about is you want to know more, you can get the book, but we'll cover as much as we can right here. Why don't you say hello and tell us if you were drawn to becoming a nun? Do you want to like start there and tell us what drew you to it? And
I'd love to tell you that.
okay.
I fell in love with a nun that was my teacher, and she was the most vital, adorable, interesting person, and I was completely in love with her. And to be with her, I was the only way I could continue to be with her because I followed her all around in high school. And I mean, we had a very intense relationship in high school that she never should have had, that today she'd probably be disbarred or something.
Wait, well, let's start further back. Why did you become a nun?
That's, I'm telling you,
Oh, I'm sorry. So that
because I was in love with this particular high school teacher.
is what drew you. Okay, go
And
ahead.
she thought I had a vocation, and then I went over and talked with the mistress of novices and had an interview when my mother was there, and I was accepted. And so when I was 18, or just about to turn 18, I entered the convent, which at that time was in Berkeley. And I only wanted to be with her. That was my I didn't really care about Jesus. But then when I got in there, the mistress of novices was very, she really did a good job of indoctrinating us into being good nuns.
How,
And
what does
so
that
that,
require? What does that require to be a
well,
good
that required me not to be in love with Sister Maureen anymore.
for starters? Yeah.
So that was a very tough time in the novitiate when I tried to not be in love with her, not think about her all the time, and not miss her, and to try to be a good nun. And so there's lots of, they had lots of rules, and we had lots of information about the church and church history and all that. So,
I just want to, I was going to ask you about that. So that's quite a commitment to becoming a nun with
completely,
rules and limitations and what
yeah,
other things are open to you.
yes.
What are some of the rules?
I should have brought my rule book. It's in the closet.
Oh, it's the whole book. Okay.
It's a little book. The rules are, they have different. Yeah, you have a rule book, and
Okay.
you get you have a rule book,
Okay.
and one of them is, of course, not to ever touch another nun.
Oh, and that's
No.
spelled out.
Yes. I should have brought my rule book. It's right up in the closet.
Well, that's okay. This is a good enough flavor of it. So there's no like hugging hello and.
Right. No touching. You may not touch another sister.
Okay.
They're so nervous, basically, about homosexuality that they have all these rules.
Okay.
So in the novitiate, I tried to renounce Sister Maureen, for who was the love of my life, and who I followed all through my time in high school. And so you become a postulant for 6 months, and if you they accept you, then you become a novice, and your parents come, and it's a big deal. You wear a white wedding dress, and you're going to be married to Jesus. So my mother says, "Oh, you need a wedding dress? You're going to wear it once?" I said, "Yes, Mom, buy me a wedding dress."
Yes, well, everybody's supposed to wear it just once if things
So
break up.
that's right, unless you get married again. Anyway, so she bought me a wedding dress, and on that day you had a little postulant dress, which is black, and they take you into a room and they put you in your wedding dress, and you're going to get married to Jesus, and you march into the chapel in the mother house, which was at Turk and Masonic in San Francisco near the Panhandle there, and you kneel at the altar and you make your vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And we did it for 3 years. They give you a trial period for 3 years.
And you
And
saw that 3 years through.
yes, I went through the 3 years. And that part is in the novitiate. And the mistress of novices is always watching over you, and it's very strict, very strict. And then at the end, you get assigned, well, in the middle of that, you get assigned a name, and you get your white veil and you're assigned a name. And they said, you get to make a couple of choices. And I asked for Sister Mary Stephen. That would be after my brother. And Sister Mary, a couple other choices. And then it came to me, and I had to kneel down, and she says, and you will be called Sister Mary Theophane. And I went, oh my God. Oh, terrible. And then you stood up, and I said, well, is my saint Theophane Vénard, the French priest? She goes, no, you are named after the Epiphany. You're the, like Little Christmas. You are an Epiphany, and so your feast day will be Little Christmas, which is a few days after the real Christmas. It's when the wise men came to see Jesus.
I see, okay. And
And so that's how then I proceeded through the 2 years of novitiate, being Sister Theophane and trying to erase Maureen from my thoughts.
oh. Was she still around that you could actually see her and talk to her?
No, not at all. No. But then the day that you get your black veil, it happens in the chapel, and I could hear her singing in the choir.
She
And
was
so
absolutely just
I
in
could hear,
part.
we were getting our moving from white veils to black veils, and I could hear her singing in the choir of the chapel. And I hadn't seen her since I had entered.
Oh.
So when I came out, we both now had veils, and we kind of got next to each other and formed a little cave, our two veils, and we could see each other in the little cave of our veils. Oh, I'll never forget it because I hadn't seen her since I had entered.
Does she feel the same way about you?
She did. She did. She did.
So can you?
Me a little more dependent. And so then I was assigned to teach first grade in San Francisco, and off you begun. You know, there you are. You're beginning to teach. And I put up a big clown, and I was very artistic. I put up a big clown with holding balloons and put the name of each color on it in the first grade. And the principal came in and says, you have to take that clown down. It's going to excite the children.
Oh,
So,
as if that's not what teaching about is getting them.
right. Oh, it was hard. It was hard.
Did you like teaching?
I really liked the kids at St. Anne's. They were great kids. You know, we played a trick on one little boy who would
Was that
always,
St. Anne's on Irving Street?
yes,
Oh,
in
okay.
San Francisco, St. Anne's there. And one little boy would always come in late from recess. And so one day I said, we're going to play a trick on him. And he got to the door and we held the door closed. He couldn't get in. And he stood out in the hall and started crying. And then all the kids said to me, open the door, sister, open the door. So I played a bad trick on one of my own students, and I was, you know, scolded by my own students. Let him in, those let him in. And after I finished there that year, then I every August you go in, everyone in the whole community on the very same day goes to the community room, and the Mother Superior has these little white envelopes. If you get a white envelope, it means you're going to move. You're not going to go to the same school. If you don't get an envelope, you're going to stay. Well, I got a white envelope. And you go to the chapel and read it, and then you either cry or say, thank you, Jesus.
Sure.
And my envelope said, you will go into East LA, Lady of Lourdes in East LA. And I went, oh my God. And so I flew down with three other nuns, and they picked us up at the airport. And East LA is all Hispanic, and a poor neighborhood, Our Lady of Lourdes Parish. So I began my career teaching, my second year teaching 60 first graders.
In
And
one classroom?
I wrote my name on the board, Sister Mary Theophane. They never call me anything except Stir. Stir, 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 short for
Oh,
sister.
no.
So for 2 years, I was simply Stir.
That's adorable that they got a nickname for you so quickly. Can you
They
just?
were saying sister. They were think they thought they were saying sister,
Oh, I realize that. Yes,
only
but
they just pronounced it stir.
60 children in one room you were teaching?
Yes, on those horrible desks, you know, that are run on runners and you can't move them. You
Yeah.
know,
Oh my
there are
goodness.
three attached together. Those, oh, terrible.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, then I taught the first grade, and I took them down the hall the first time, and they had no concept of lining up. They had not had kindergarten, as the kids had at St. Anne's. I was the first lineup. It was a big, they just swarmed like a swarm. They couldn't understand the concept of lineup. And we got down to the bathrooms. You go to the bathroom before you go to recess. Well, I was standing there and they were going to the bathrooms and I was standing there and the mother superior, who was the principal, came down. She says, "You've sent the boys in that room? That's the girls' bathroom." So I had left. I sent all the girls into the boys' bathroom and all the boys into the girls' bathroom. My first day was a complete mess. And then I just said, "Follow me." And we went out to the schoolyard, and it's all asphalt. No, not a tree, not a flower, nothing. And they all have little gray uniforms. And I went, I and they could play and they could go on the jungle gym and stuff. And I thought, this is like a prison. These are the prisoners. Oh, this is terrifying. And the little girls continued to hold my, they held my veil. I couldn't shake the little girls. They followed me around. And one little boy got up on the top of the jungle gym, was waving, and then of course he fell down and hurt his arm. So then we had to call the mother superior, and oh, that was my very first day of teaching. It wasn't that easy.
So how long did you last at this teaching? And then how long did you last
I
as a
was there for 2 years with the kids. And then we had the same, first communion. We had to line up, and I had to be in charge of the Christmas program, and they all had to learn songs, and they had to line up and sing songs. It was just terrifying work. I mean, nobody had these. I was the first time they were doing all this stuff, and it was the first time I was doing it. And we had this Christmas program, and they never would get the words right. They had to sing three songs, and the parish priest would come in and play the piano and said they're singing too slowly and he'd sing faster. Well, finally, the day of the program, the parish priest and the mother superior sat in the first row, and then all the mothers and of the children came. Then they all sang and everybody clapped, and it was like, oh, it's over. Oh
That's
my God, it was over.
so how long did you last as Sister Theo? And
Oh, I was in the convent 12 years.
oh, that long. Oh my goodness. So what was the final, whatever you want to call it,
Well, I taught elementary school for 5 years. And I got my little envelope and it said, "Now you will teach at Presentation High School," where I had gone to school. And I thought, well, I don't know anything. What am I going to teach?
And that's back in San Francisco.
Yes, I was going to go back to San Francisco.
How did
Yeah.
you feel about that?
I had gone from LA to San Jose. In San Jose, the kids were very well dressed and well fed, and they had had kindergarten, and they were very easy to teach. And we did very well in San Jose. I liked that parish. I liked the nuns. I liked the parents. Everything was good in San Jose. Then I got my envelope and said, "You were going to go teach at the high school." And I thought, what on earth am I going to teach?
Oh, in San Francisco.
Yes, I was going to go back where I went to school.
Did you get in touch with?
And Sister Maureen, we only saw each other in the summer when we went down to this property that the nuns had 10 days at a property in Los Gatos. It was our vacation.
But
And
then you were back in touch and in contact with her.
then she was at that, she was there. Yes. And after I was in high teaching high school, we went to USF to get our degrees. Every year we took two classes. Every summer we took two classes. It took us forever, like 9 years, to get your actual to graduate. So I would see her then. Occasionally I would see her then, and we'd have good conversations and whisper and be together. But that was it. And then we'd go to our respective, teaching jobs. And then,
What made you then finally say?
now you want to leave. Okay, what happened is one summer they assigned me to a psychology class at USF. And the psychology teacher, his name was Dr. Milligan. He was just big, tough guy, comes in, tears his jacket off, puts his leg up, and he ran the class like a therapy class. We did a little bit of the text, and then he'd let everybody talk, and they talked about homosexuality and their problems and all this. And I was just like, oh. And I thought, am I homosexual? I wonder if I am. I
Well,
ran over to
wasn't
the
released.
library and got a book. I was looking in the section on homosexuality, and it was only the thing by Oscar Wilde. Oh, I thought, oh God, I don't know if I'm homosexual or not. So I went to the teacher at the end of the summer, and I'd had a couple private sessions with him, which you could have as a student when you were in his class. And at the end of the summer, he said, you know, I think you've been bringing up some important things that we're talking about, and I think you ought to ask that mother general of yours if you can't come to my office downtown. I have an office downtown San Francisco, and I'll be able happy to see you, and we'll continue our conversations. So I went to the mother general, and I said, the person who had taught me this class thinks I should continue the sessions. They had never sent anyone to a psychologist who wasn't a priest. So I was the very first one they allowed to leave the convent and go down to his office, and I had to have a partner. She would sit outside in the little waiting room, and I would have my session with Dr. Milligan. And I went twice a month, and then I began to understand, you know, myself and appreciate myself. And then one day I was in the biology lab, and I didn't want to teach biology, but I knew I was going to teach biology forever. And it was February, and it was gloomy, and I was feeding the king snake, and I was thinking, I'm going to think, what if I left? Oh, I wouldn't know anybody. Everybody I know is married. I wouldn't have any friends. I wouldn't have a job. Well, I'm going to think about it for 1 minute. Then I dropped a beaker and broke it, cleaned it up. Okay, now I'm going to think about it for 2 minutes. I might have had the passage here to read to you.
Well, that's okay. I don't want you to lose your thread here. So how much longer? I want to get to the part where you actually leave, and did she leave with you? And
Oh, no. No.
let's because our time's limited. I wish it weren't, but we could buy your book for the what we're gonna miss here.
He says, well, at the end of the summer, this is what Milligan said. He says, Sister, you know, it seems the talks that you have and I have are important, and we could continue. I have an office downtown where I see people in the afternoons.
Right,
And
we can.
his gray eyes looked at me intensely. You can ask that new mother general, sir, if you might come down. My fee is reasonable. And so then I thought, oh, something's terribly is wrong with me. But
When did you get to the point? I want to move us. When did you get to the point where you realized there wasn't something terribly wrong with you and that you needed to leave?
it took 4 years.
Oh, really, a long time. So
Yeah.
what was the last straw? And then I want to know if you would, what. I mean, there's quite a process for becoming a nun. What is
Well, that was
the
it's
process?
2.5 years. I had a 6 months as a postulant, 2 years as a novitiate.
Right.
Then you
What
go
is
in
it?
and then you make vows for 3 years. And then if you pass that, then you make vows for life.
Okay, so
I
but
had
you
made
have
vows
those
for life.
vows for life.
Right.
And what's the process for leaving?
Okay, now I want to get this little thing. After that summer, when I had that class and I was beginning to think of all kinds of things, I went down and Sister Ma at our vacation on the property, and I wanted to talk about it with Sister Maureen. I wanted to tell her all the things. And she said, oh, she showed, oh, I knit this little sweater vest. Oh, look, why don't you try it on? And I kept saying, listen, I had this great adolescent psychology class, and the teacher, I never met anyone like him, tough as a sergeant, but kind and wise. She pulled free. You know, at Loyola, the Jesuits showed us some good movies. One was My Fair Lady. You would have loved it. Oh, you should have heard the topics that came up in this class. Sexual stuff, not like anything I've heard before. Masturbation, homosexuality. I went to the doc's office for counseling and got some good information. You're not supposed to go to teachers for counseling. We go to priests, she admonished. Frustrated, I got up and I put my hands lightly around her waist. She shook free and said, Theo, this whole thing sounds quite strange to me. And then we started a little bit more talking. And I said, Maureen, why don't we get out of here? Take a walk to the creek so we can talk without being interrupted before your sisters came. She had two, three real sisters that were in the convent. Theo, we are alone. We are talking. What more do you want? Suddenly, deep inside, something gave way, like an ancient redwood tree slowly toppling to the forest floor. I was nearly split in two by the weight of my feelings. I stood for a long moment, breathing deeply. The obsession that had held me captive for years was releasing its grip on me. Yes, I did want more, though I was uncertain what it was. Slowly, I turned and staring straight ahead, I walked out the door. If Maureen had uttered a word, even a peep, she would have shattered my fragile freedom, but she was silent. I bolted up the
You
path
know what?
and I started running wildly and breathing deeply, experienced my new independence. I walked past the novitiate and climbed the hill to the apple orchard, the apple orchard. My spirit was soaring. Oh. When the community bell rang for dinner, I realized instead of plotting how to sit next to Maureen, I could sit anywhere. I could dance with anyone later at folk staffing, but never again did I never imagine I would not speak to her again for 20 years.
Okay. Now, I don't want you to read more because you want people
That's
to buy
it.
the book and see for
That's
themselves.
it.
But so then there was another 20 years that you didn't see her?
Right. I left the convent. I didn't tell her. I just left in a
Oh
while.
my goodness. Well, what is the process? I mean, you can just say I resign, or is there a process to
Oh
leave?
no, you have to write to the Pope. It's like getting a divorce.
Okay.
You first you have to go in and tell the Mother General that you want to leave. And then it was about April. And she said, well, could you finish out the year? Because I couldn't get another biology teacher. And I said, that would be fine, because then I have time to plan where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do when I
Where
leave.
did you go? Where did you go?
Well, they had let me go to the California College of Arts and Crafts in Oakland on Saturday classes, and then I knew I wanted to go to school there, and so I knew I was going to go to the arts and crafts, and I found a they have a little bulletin board. I found a rental for the summer, and they let me buy a few little clothes. So I went down to this little lady's apartment, and I said I'd like to rent it for the summer. And I went into the gas station and took my habit off, put it in a bag, and put on this little dress that they let me buy and a little sandals. And for a moment, I was not a nun. I was a lady asking for a summer rental. And
Oh,
she
well,
said,
let me ask you this. So you had money to buy things and pay
they
rent.
gave it to me. They let me do this.
They, meaning the church.
The nuns, the
Okay.
nuns,
Were
the
they
convent.
understanding about why you wanted to leave?
They were very kind. They
Oh,
were.
how nice. How
They were
nice.
kind. They were kind. But anyway, I had to write to the Pope, and the divorce papers had to come, and then you have to go in and sign them, and then you have to send them back to the Vatican. And so finally your release comes. And so that you've left, how do I say it, in a you're still in the church. You've left in a proper way.
Oh, okay. So you're not excommunicated or anything.
Right,
Is
right.
that, would you have been, if you hadn't gone through a proper divorce through the Pope, what would have happened?
Well, I would have left anyway, but
Right. But what happens if you don't do it the proper way?
nothing really.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened.
So 20 years, you
Okay. So I left
divorce.
and I didn't see her. I just left. And I
Right.
went to the California College of Arts and Crafts, and I tried to look like a hippie, and I had a wonderful time. And I got a job in Berkeley, and I taught. This was the time that Camilla was going to Berkeley. I was teaching in Berkeley schools when Kamala Harris did her 2 years there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because when she told the years and the school she went to, I knew it exactly.
Right. So I want you to round up to, because we're limited in time, I'm sorry to say.
Okay, so I met my husband there over I became what they call a home teacher, because I wanted to go to school part-time at Arts and Crafts. So the home teacher, they were integrating Berkeley for the first time, really integrating it. And they put kids out of school that were problems. So they had a lot of kids that needed a home teacher. So they were hiring home teachers. So I became one of the home teachers. And you would get a list, a couple of kids, and you had to see them once a day, every day for an hour, and try to get them to behave
But you
and
said
try
you
to get them
married your
back in
husband. You
school.
said you married your husband.
And on that one of those cases where the mother wouldn't send the kid to school, I met my husband, and we got on right off, and in a year we were married, and then I got pregnant and lost the first child very hard. Then I got pregnant again and had one perfect daughter who I adore today.
Oh, you've had a very full life.
And that daughter is the head writer of Children's Hospital Hollywood.
Wow.
She's a
Okay,
very
so
well educated young lady.
the marriage ended.
Yes, but not for a long, long, long time. We moved to Hawaii, and the marriage didn't end for a long time.
Now, are you
I
at this
forget how it ended, actually.
That's really interesting to forget how a marriage ended. Did you have your heart and mind on?
I never saw Sister Maureen again.
Even to this date?
Well, when I came, all right, I got married. We worked in Berkeley. We moved to Hawaii. We lived in Hawaii. I married in Hawaii. We came back. I moved to Marin, and I was still married, and sent my daughter to school in Marin, and I didn't get divorced for quite a few years.
Okay, but let's get to
So
where you are with her
they
now.
called me and said, Sister Maureen is dying.
Oh.
And so I immediately, they told me the hospital. I immediately went down there to the hospital. And I said, if there's anything on that door that says you can't go in, I'm going in. I'm going in anyway. But there
Right.
wasn't. It just said, be quiet. And I went in, and she was in the bed, and she had cancer, and it was terminal. And I went over and kissed her on the cheek. And we
Oh.
had our old times. And I said, Maureen, this is like our old times. Remember that old Black Magic used to sing that song? And we had this beautiful, beautiful time together. Then I kissed her, and she says, I'm going for the gold. Like the athletes at the Olympic, I'm going for the gold. And I said, you go for the gold. You strive. You wish. You hope, Maureen. And then I left, and a few days later, she died.
Oh, I would have cried.
Was hard. Yeah.
Goodness. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine that's hard. What does that leave you with?
Well, I was so happy that we reconnected.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, let me ask you something, because I'm largely about letters and the power of letters. And I'm going to ask you, if you were to write a love letter right now, who would you write it to?
I don't think I want it's one of my neighbors here.
Would you could who would you write a love letter to?
I would. It's one of there's a person here who
Or
helped
you're
me write the
saying you would write
book,
it to one of your neighbors there?
and he's the person who helped me write the book. You know, he came with all his computer expertise, and he helped me get the book out. I mean, he's married, and he's still helps me with all my computer stuff, and I would write a love letter to him because he helped me so much.
I'm just curious, are any of the people who were with your church still with us? Any of the people that you became nuns with,
Oh
or?
no, I don't know. Well, I still go back to the convent whenever they have a death. Whenever they have a funeral, I go back to my old convent.
So you still have some positive feelings about them.
Yes, I love them.
Oh, you love them. Okay, so.
They just closed the convent, and they sent all of them to retirement homes. There's two
Yeah.
retirement homes in San Francisco.
I
So
know.
if I hear that anybody's gonna die or they have a funeral, I'm over there.
Oh, let me ask you something. I'm just, my mind's going, of course. Would it be, I think it would be such a beautiful thing to write a letter to whoever's in charge of that convent now and just to express the love that you still have for them.
Well,
And
they send me stuff. They want money all the time. I'm always sending them $100 for this and $100
okay, so how about you
for
send them, would you
a
consider
letter?
sending a letter
Oh, yeah,
just
I could do that.
a kind of a letter of gratitude for all you learned? I mean, your life
Yes,
wouldn't have
I
taken.
could do that. I will do that.
Oh,
I
that's
will do that.
wonderful.
I'll
Okay.
send them the next $100 I send, I'll include the letter.
Oh, wonderful. Oh,
I
wonderful.
will.
And
That's a very good idea.
I'm so glad that you're
Like
agreeing
you
with me.
suggested that.
And I'll tell you something, when I make donations, I don't just put a
Check
check.
in.
I always include a letter just expressing gratitude for all they do. I think every donation should come with a love letter.
I will do that. Thank you. I think they'll appreciate it.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Oh, it's very
And
fun.
when we met,
I'm choked up with my memories.
yes, that's the beauty of them, isn't it? But when we met at that restaurant, I guess I want to say this really quickly. I was at a restaurant with a friend outdoors, and there was you and a man sitting a couple of tables away, and we had kind of made eye contact a couple of times and, nodded. Like, as in hello, I could just feel that there was something important there at that table. And you
Wow.
stopped by our table to say hello, and you told me a little bit, well, about your book. And I thought, okay, we need to talk and let the world hear about this even more. And I had no idea that there would be this kind of story in it. Okay.
Thank you. Now, can I introduce the friend that I'm in love with? He just walked in the house.
Sure, if we can
All right,
do it.
come over here.
Okay,
Come on.
come
Come on.
on.
And just make an appearance. Here he is.
I'll make an appearance.
Come on over.
Where will I be in this picture? Oh, that's silly.
Oh.
Can you see
Yeah.
me?
Oh, good. There you are. Okay,
There
good.
he is.
Hello.
This is the man who helped me write my book.
Yes. Oh, how nice to meet you.
I don't know how you don't know I'm in there, but
Gone for you're kind of flashing in and out, which is kind of mysterious.
yeah,
I'm
well,
going to
that's
thank
good.
you so much, and we'll be in touch, and I'll talk to you later. What a life.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you, dear, for doing this, and I hope we'll run into each other again.
Yes, we will.
Okay, good. Bye.
Bye now. How do I do get off?
No, nothing. I'm going to get